They're not pushing themselves to keep growing and learning. And that, again, that's something that doesn't necessarily just cost you overnight. One day you just didn't read a book last night and now you're out of date, but it's more of a slow, bad habits, bad attitudes that catch up with you over time. And one day you discover that you're just completely ill-equipped now for the kind of challenges facing your organization today.
This podcast is brought to you by Blackbee Ministries International. To find out more, visit blackbee.org.
Well, welcome to the Richard Blackbee Leadership Podcast. My name is Sam Camp, and I'm your host. And joining me on today's podcast is Dr. Richard Blackbee.
As always, Sam, I can't say enough what a pleasure it is to be here with you today.
It is. And you know what? What brings me great pleasure, too, is also seeing your beloved Sabres making some needed changes, it sounds like,
in the
lineup there, and leadership, speaking of.
Leadership changes, yeah. Buffalo fired their coach, which I kind of saw coming, but
yeah,
it is interesting, you know, like coaches, of course, are leaders, and this coach, former coach, was really good at, I think, developing young players, and so several of them, I think he did some wonders with that were like, not even in the lineup, and then he turns them into 47 goal scorers, you know, like really well done. But it's oftentimes people can only take people so far, you know, and so he there's several that had career years under him, but then it's like, okay, let's just go one more step further and we'll be in the playoffs, and then he couldn't do that. And so it always amazes me how sometimes you need different kinds of coaches, to develop a player, and then others to like say, okay, now we're going to be tough enough to make it in. And, you know, so it just tells you the different kinds of leaders, I guess.
But. And, you know, I think having a 40-year track record of discovering all the different types of coaches that won't get you into the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, we have been in the playoffs before. But,
well, to the cup, I guess.
But, yeah, but we have not quite found the coach that would get us to win the whole thing.
I'm sure that person is out there.
And we continue our quest.
I'm sure eventually, given enough time.
A day is coming. We're sooner, it's closer now than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's all in good fun.
Thanks for us, Sam. I was having a good day until you brought that up.
Well, I do what I can, Richard. You know that. but before we dive in to the pitfalls that face leaders.
Yeah, be careful. You might fall into one yourself here.
I will choose my words carefully here. But we do want to once again invite our listeners to the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. That's going to be happening in May. You've heard about it before. I don't think you can even sign up for the wait list at this point. So on-campus housing is, I think, totally full, and then some. But you can still sign up for the dining option and the conference, or just the conference option.
Yeah, and then it's a nice Holiday Inn that's just right off the campus and you know, right nearby. And you can eat in the dining room, which is fun, and you can kind of hang out there and on the site and go to the chapel and go for hikes and enjoy the veranda with a frozen yogurt while you look on the Blue Ridge Mountains. Lots of good things still. So if you've never been there before, you still can get a lot of the experience, just not sleep there at night. But otherwise, you can hang out there all day and take advantage of everything they have there. So it's not too late. I just heard of a pastor that just signed up this week, and he's just going to stay in a hotel nearby and still get all the other benefits. So, it's not too late. And we love to hear stories. Last year, there was a lady that, like 2 days before, it worked out that she suddenly could come, and she was thrilled. And so you never know. Sometimes it's those last-minute decisions that can be life-changing. So that'll be for some of our listeners as well.
Yeah, well, we'll leave links to that, as always, in the show notes, and that's May 15th to 17th, and you can find out more at thecove.org. So, with that out of the way, Richard, last week we looked at two really key pitfalls of leaders, that is pride and sexual issues, mm-hmm. as it is. And we've got another 8 to go, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And this all comes from the book you wrote with your father a few years back, Spiritual Leadership, and all about moving people onto God's agenda.
Yeah.
And so in the time we have today, I suspect we won't get through all 8. We'll make a
valiant effort.
But we'll try.
So. Yeah, and we're going to just be spending a few podcasts here on this book because it is kind of our magnum opus on leadership.
Yeah.
If you've never read Spiritual Leadership, the subtitle is Moving People Onto God's Agenda, and God has just really used this book. I've had many people tell me it's the best book on leadership that they've read. I mean, maybe they're not that well read, but we've heard that from many, and many different Bible colleges and seminaries use it as a textbook. I'll be teaching this book as a textbook in a couple of weeks at my old seminary in Canada.
Yeah,
I'll be teaching a leadership class for a week, and if you're ever interested in spending a week studying leadership with me and my cousin Rob, while looking out on the slopes of the Rocky Mountains in Canada, we do that about every other year. So.
Yeah, well, tell maybe before we dive in and make this an even longer podcast. That is interesting because you are teaching that leadership seminar. Is that open to the public?
Yeah, it is.
How does that work?
Because
it is at the doctoral level?
No, this particular one is more of a seminary master's level. So I would think, I guess, if you've had a college degree of any kind, then you would qualify just to register and take it. And we have people that fly in from across the country to be there. It goes from like 9 till about 4 o'clock each day. And if you've never been to Calgary, Alberta, and you can run up to Banff, even Lake Louise in the evenings, or come in a day or so early and do that.
Yeah.
They have a bit of housing you can rent on site. And then there's motels nearby. But we do a deep dive on just some of the most fundamental things that you need to know as leaders. And it's a lot of fun. Rob is the current president of the school, and he took my place. And so the last two presidents there for over 28 or so years are teaching this class. And so it's a lot of fun. It's we get into some really great stuff and just get a chance to just hang out with a bunch of folks for a week and just talk about what we feel is most important about leadership. So if you reach out, that's coming up in early May. So that's really soon. But
I would imagine that's full already.
There's room. I'm sure there's room. You can they can expand to take whoever wants to register. But otherwise, we'll be back in 2 years. So you'd have to wait 2 more years till it happens again. But anyway, that's kind of fun. It's coming up soon. So.
Yeah.
But so in the book, Spiritual Leadership, near the end, one of the latter chapters, we look at what we call 10 pitfalls of leaders. And of course, there's many pitfalls a leader can experience, but we tried to just identify maybe the top 10 or top 10 most common. And certainly pride, we looked at extensively last time, is in many ways perhaps the most egregious because it's so common. And when you are on a platform, when you do have positions of influence and power, maybe you are paid the most in your organization, there's lots and lots of ways that your pride can be inflamed. And oftentimes people don't know that when they're working farther down, perhaps. And that's why some people, I think, just really can't handle top jobs, leadership responsibilities, because it inflames their ego and pride rather than being humbled by the responsibility and stewardship. They let it go to their head, and so that I think because there are many who are susceptible to pride, they're just not, God's just not going to give them a leadership role that they can't handle. They don't have the character for. And then of course we saw sexual sin, and again, this week, I just saw another prominent Christian leader that had to suddenly resign his position because it came out of sexual sin. It's just so common. Mm. Of course, we live in a sexualized world. in which it we're inundated with images and temptations and films and music and billboards and just so many things that just play to our sinful flesh. And I think in a leadership role, you can have some unique temptations that come. And so, again, it even though we know it's terrible and we know it's a danger, still prominent leaders are just continually falling to that. And so we looked at those two last week, two very big ones. Some other ones might not take quite as much time. And the third one in our list in the book is what I just call cynicism. And that just comes from years of experience often of disappointment. I've said to people, I mentioned this a while ago, but a while ago, my oldest son, Mike, was just ministering to people. And there's some people he had really made a lot of effort for that just disappointed him. You know, sometimes you can just do so much for people and go the extra second, third, fourth mile for people. And then the first time that you do something that they don't agree with, they're gone. And yeah. It's like, well, I walked on hot coals for you when you were in need. And then all it takes is for me to do one thing that you have a different opinion on and you're abandoning ship. But and I remember just saying to him at the time that there's two things you can take to the bank when you work with people. And one is that you will inevitably be disappointed. There will be people that should be rising to the occasion, that should be grateful for all that you've done. They should appreciate the sacrifices you made on their behalf, but they won't. And instead of rising to the occasion, doing what they ought to have done, they'll do something the opposite. And then there's others that will. So the first kind of people are the people who would disappoint you. But I said the second kind of people are those who will pleasantly surprise you that you didn't necessarily expect a lot from. Maybe you didn't put a whole lot of effort into them, and yet nonetheless they really appreciate what you have done, and they show their gratitude to you by loyalty, by thanks, in just many different ways. And so I just said, you know, as a leader, you're going to spend your whole life having to decide who you listen to, who you focus on, and there are times where someone can let you down, and so you just can't get that out of your head. I know some pastors who just have left the ministry because they were just so hurt that people would leave their church after all they had done, or that would criticize them. And it is a battle, because it's just about impossible to lead and not have some people disappoint you. It's just, even the best of leaders are going to have people that just don't rise to the occasion. And so you're going to ultimately have to decide who you listen to and where you focus. And what else I found is that what you expect in people often is what you find. And so it was said of Richard Nixon that he always assumed the worst in people. He had a very, very cynical, negative, suspicious view of people. And so that's what he kept finding. And of course, that was so much of the whole Watergate scandal that brought him down was he had won an election hands down. I mean, very convincingly been reelected. And so he should have just been confident in that and known that he had the support of people. But he was always suspicious about what his perceived enemies were doing. And he felt vulnerable unless he could try to find out and be on top of it and strike his enemies first. And that cynicism led him to do things that would ultimately bring him down. And so he could have, there were so many positive things about his leadership had he chosen just to focus on those. But when you assume the worst in people, you begin looking for the worst in people, and you typically don't have to look that far till you find it. If you assume the best in people, you're not, I mean, people aren't always going to rise to that occasion, but more than likely you're going to bring out the best in people. You're going to attract people who want to be around you because you believe in them and you see the potential in them. And so over the years, I've been around a lot of leaders church leaders, business leaders. And, you know, there are some that even after years and years of experience, they still are upbeat. They're still positive. They still like being around people. And then there's others that will just make comments that are just very cynical. And they sometimes, when you're cynical about people, it means you keep aloof from them. Because you assume the worst, you don't let them get close to you because you don't want them to hurt you like maybe someone has before. Or you just never get your hopes up. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in where you're brainstorming, and there will be some that will be continuously seeing the possibilities, the potential, and brainstorming about what new opportunities do we have. And there'll be others who will immediately be drawn toward the potential problems. Well, but what if this happens? What if that happens? And you could say, well, it could, that could happen, but that doesn't mean it will happen. And maybe we can do some things at the front end to prevent that from happening. That's just because there are problems doesn't mean that this isn't a good idea. We just have to figure out how to solve the problem.
Right.
I've just found that people don't want to follow cynical leaders. Now, you can attract other cynical people around you. And I'm seeing a lot of that these days where there are people that are just cynical. And so all of their direct reports are cynical as well. And they can sit around in a staff meeting and all just cynically criticize everything that's going on around you. But that becomes a very toxic kind of organization to be a part of.
Well, I think, unfortunately, you can have a career in cynicism these days, thanks to the internet. You know, you can build your entire brand essentially on cynicism and putting down what other people are trying to build.
Yeah.
And you can get paid for it, and people will
make a lot
watch
of money
you.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of podcasts and other social media forums that basically just foster cynicism. And no matter what is done, and we've seen this certainly in politics, if someone's the president that is not in your party, then it doesn't matter what they do. I mean, they could cure cancer, but we would find, yeah, but how long will this last? I mean, did he do it for the wrong motives? I mean, you can get to where if you're cynical, nothing good is noteworthy to you. You're going to still be frantically trying to find something wrong with it. And I just find that doesn't mean you're naive. You know, it doesn't mean that you are just a Pollyanna, everything's great. I think grounded leaders are going to be people who do see the problems, but they just don't become so cynical that they can't see the possibilities. They can't see the potential. They can't celebrate because, you know, not everything is bad. Even in a difficult leadership situation, there's usually some positive taking place too, but when you become cynical, you typically become blinded to that. All you see is the negative. And I sure don't want to waste my life following a cynical leader. I want someone that is upbeat, that sees the problems, but is confident we can overcome those problems. And so it saddens me at times because most leaders, when they start out, don't start out cynical. I would think that you'd be drawn to be a leader because you have hope of making a difference. But there have been people who've tried to make a difference and they got stabbed in the back. They got let down, disappointed, lied to. And it takes the wind out of their sails to the point where they just, and perhaps to protect themselves now, they just sort of embrace that cynical outlook and just they're not going to be disappointed again. So and maybe that prevents them from being disappointed, but at the same time it also prevents them from just the joys and the satisfaction in an excitement about the possibilities that lie before them. So I think I always love it when I see a veteran leader who's been at it for a while who still has a great attitude, still positive, still excited about what the potential is. And so So that can be one where I think, and that's more of a slow, like a sexual sin, a one night stand in a hotel room somewhere can be enough to destroy your leadership. But cynicism seems to be something that often kind of creeps in over time.
Yeah.
And so you got to watch that. Another one that is greed. And greed is the kind of thing, again, that leaders can be susceptible to, because in a role of leadership, you typically get paid better, you have better benefits, and you can become seduced by all the perks of leadership. And you know, when you're maybe you're pastoring a church and God's blessing your church and you're reaching your community and lives are being transformed and things are very positive are happening. But then a church maybe in the next county invites you to come and you realize that they pay better than the church you're in now. Or there's just extra perks there. And sadly, a lot of times we can begin to be driven in our leadership purely by where do we make the most money, where's the highest compensation, and the other thing is that a lot of times when you're a leader and you have built up something, whether it's a business or it's a church or nonprofit, you begin to see the success of your organization as all because of you. And it's just a short step from there to begin to feel entitled, so that you say, well, you know, this company now has all these assets and all these different things that it has, and it wouldn't have any of that without me. And so if I want to dip into the till here, if I want to use company resources for my own personal benefit, that's it's not hard to justify that. And so you start to see leaders that begin to cross the line ethically, legally, morally, and also you can see where leaders will perhaps pay themselves more and more, and of course that's been something that has been a hot button in corporate America of late, when you have CEOs who are making millions and millions of dollars and multiple millions of dollars of bonuses each year, while at the same time perhaps laying off hundreds or even thousands of employees to cut costs. And again, that there are times where maybe some of those things are necessary, but the optics of that, where you've just laid off a bunch of employees so that they're unemployed and can't pay their mortgage, but the leader is still getting all of his full benefits and bonuses. That often is a result of greed, saying, I don't care if others have to suffer or even be unemployed, as long as I get everything I can that's coming to me. And there have been times where people have worked in nonprofits and were being paid a huge salary, so that the actual ministry that they were supposed to do, they almost had no budget for that because all their money was going into paying the leader. And you see this at times with TV evangelists and so on that will show all kinds of pictures of orphans in Africa or something that they're supposed to be helping. But then when you actually look at the numbers, very, very little aid actually goes to the orphans. And most of the money is going to their third private jet and their mansion. And you realize, well, this leader has succumbed to greed. And of course, it doesn't mean that a leader should not be paid well and paid at a level that is justified by their responsibility and their success and what they've done. But there gets to be a line where now all their decisions, their leadership is being driven more by their greed than by what they are hoping to accomplish, what they were called to do. And in a world that is filled with seductions of things you can purchase, luxury that you can enjoy, it can be very tempting at times as a leader to start making decisions based more on your own personal benefit than on what benefits your organization. So,
yeah, well, you know, and I think I wonder too if you know the issue of greed is often amplified just because it's the shorthand for success. You know, material wealth is shorthand for career success, whether that's in the nonprofit world, the ministry world, or in business. Is oftentimes that's the only metric I think that people look at and say, am I being a good leader? Am I being successful? You know, how much am I getting paid? And I think if we were to perhaps change what it means to be successful, maybe lessen some of that incentive for greed over time.
Yeah, you know, and I think sometimes our identity is just so vulnerable to the more I have, then the more important I am, the more valuable I am. And so I want to have a really nice car, and I want to have these vacations and so on. And then that means I must be an important person. And I just always found, I mean, I'm happy to have a nicer house or to have some money in the bank, but I always found joy in when my organization prospered, when I paid off the debts of my church, or we had money in the bank, or we had been able to expand our programming at our seminary or whatever it was. And sometimes just being ambitious for your organization. And again, you can be greedy about that too, but when you find, satisfaction in the prosperity of your employees or your organization, and you look at what your organization had when you came and now what it has now, and you realize it's there. Now we've got so much more. When I came to my church years ago, we were having trouble just making payroll for the pastor. And a couple of years later, we've got several other staff and we're making payroll quite comfortably. And for me, I just took great comfort in that. It wasn't that I was any richer, but the church was in a much better financial position. And to me, that's the mark of a great leader, is when the organization is now prospering because you've been leading. Not that and that's the problem with a lot of today's politicians, is that oftentimes the country that they were elected to lead is doing worse off, but they're doing great personally.
Yeah.
They've never done better financially, but the organization they're leading is on the verge of bankruptcy. And so I'd say, well, you need to be ambitious for your organization and the people you lead. Not just use your organization as a means to enrich yourself. And greed will convince you that you deserve it, that this is what everybody does, and greed can disorient you to reality. And you can end up impoverishing the organization that you came to were hired to lead, even as you're accumulating wealth yourself. And so that's become, again, something that has been in the spotlight for a number of years now. Wealthy leaders who run their organization into the ground, enriching themselves. And maybe just one last one to look at for today is just mental laziness. And that is that at a certain point, leaders stop growing. They stop learning. They get into their position. They're now in the seat. And so they think, I don't have to keep studying and learning, growing. I don't have to go to seminars. I don't need a leadership coach now. I've got the position that I want. And the other thing I found too, that you see often with successful leaders, is that because they've had success in one area, they think that now makes them an authority on all areas. and they get out of their lane. There's a famous story that we tell in the book of Henry Ford, who, of course, revolutionized industry in America, the assembly line. He was the first person to pay the astronomical daily wage of $5 a day for workers on the assembly line.
Yeah.
And he did many things that were quite cutting edge in terms of the auto industry. But he began to use his platform to make all kinds of comments about world peace and the economy and how government should lead and all kinds of social issues. And at one point, the Chicago Tribune newspaper actually put out an article that was sort of putting down Ford, just saying, hey, you know, you don't know what you're talking about here. You're not educated at all, period, certainly not in this area. And Ford, his pride was hurt, and so he sued the paper. And basically, he was trying to make a case that he wasn't ignorant, that he was well-informed. And so he actually had to go to court, and they began asking him some pretty fundamental, rudimentary questions about American history and so on. And it very quickly became apparent that he wasn't that well-informed, he wasn't well-educated. And at one point, they asked him some basic question about American history, and his comment was, "I could find someone in 5 minutes who could tell me all about that. I don't need to know it all in my head. I've got people working for me that do." And what they realized, what became pretty obvious, was that he was commenting about a lot of stuff that it was just his opinion, but it was not based on any kind of knowledge that he actually had or any study. And it became kind of I think in the end they found in his favor, but they gave him like a dollar or something. He didn't win anything. And it was really, it became kind of an embarrassment to him. And so it is possible to be in a leadership role and even to be successful in your narrow field of leadership. But what happens a lot of times is that when people rise up in an organization, when they stop growing, when they stop learning, then eventually they become out of date. They become too out of touch with current trends, current needs, current technology. And I'll tell you, just in technology, and Sam, you try to help me keep up with trends as best you can. But just because you were really current 10 years ago, now you could be, you might be so far behind with technology that your organization is languishing because you're not taking advantage of a lot of new technology and resources that could help you so much in your industry. And there's been a number of cases where older employees were finally shown the door and they felt indignant. And after all I've done for this company, how could you be so ungrateful and just let me go with this layoff? But sometimes it wasn't so much ingratitude. It was that this older employee had stopped learning years before, and they were archaic. They were hurting the organization. They hadn't learned the latest software. They hadn't learned the latest approaches. And so oftentimes I find that leaders, especially when they experience some success, they can begin to coast and they can assume that they know what they're doing. It's especially in maybe in leading a church, and you feel like, well, I know how to be a pastor. I've done that well in the 60s and 70s, but now you're in the 2000s, the 220s, and culture's changed. The way you say things has changed. So much has changed, and we've stopped growing. And so I think, again, that's a temptation for a lot of folks as they get older. And I've shared this before, but when I'm around leaders, I often like to ask, well, what books are you reading right now that are really challenging you? And inevitably, there's some that will say, oh, I've got this book, and I read that. Have you read this guy yet? He has some really great insights. And I'm thinking, this guy's been in his line of work for over 30 years, and he's still reading all the time, trying to stay current. That's a great sign. That gives me hope for that organization. And then there's others that you can just tell very quickly that they're not staying informed. They're not reading or learning. They're kind of coasting. They're distracted now. They're pursuing their hobbies or their interests or their entertainment, but they're not pushing themselves to keep growing and learning. And that, again, that's something that doesn't necessarily just cost you overnight one day. You just didn't read a book last night and now you're out of date. But it's more of a slow, bad habits, bad attitudes that catch up with you over time. And one day you discover that you're just completely ill-equipped now for the kind of challenges facing your organization today. And so just that mental laziness. And so just even as we close today, we've got five more pitfalls that we'll continue on with next week. But ask yourself, what was the last book that you read that really stretched you, that made you think, not just something that you agreed with entirely, but a book that you read and you like some of what it said, perhaps, but there are other parts where you're not sure, and some that just might have made you mad, or some that made you want to go and look up in some other books and see if that's true or not. But it got you thinking, got you growing. And if you haven't had something that stretched you for a while, that was maybe difficult, and you had to read it slowly just to follow the line of thought, then maybe you're in danger of some mental laziness where you sort of feel like you've grown all you need to. You're going to kind of take it easy now. That's maybe, if you want to do that, that's maybe a sign you need to get out of your leadership role, because leaders are people that have to keep growing. And you just can't get lazy in your mental attitude toward growth and learning, or the people you lead, the organization you lead, is going to suffer as a result.
Well, good. We'll leave links, like we said before, to the conference you're doing at the Training Center, The Cove, and also to the leadership seminar you're doing up in Calgary. And appreciate you getting us through three more leadership pitfalls. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If this is something you enjoyed, it really makes a difference if you leave a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends. We always love hearing from our listeners, so email us at podcasts@blackbee.org.